We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. Every week I'm thinking, we're going to move on to a different subject. But we continue to come back to the Lord's blessing. And today we're going to be part two of the blessing of knowing Him. The blessing of knowing Him. We talked last week about becoming friends with Jesus. Now, I don't know where I know where most of your relationship is with Jesus, that you've received Him as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't know about all of you. I don't know where you are in that spiritual direction in your life. But from the most of you, I know where you are. And so I'm speaking to the church pretty much. In regards to getting to know Jesus at a deeper level than perhaps you've ever known Him before, last week we had several who decided that they would take the 40-day challenge. And I've heard, and what that 40-day challenge is, that you're going to set aside the first part of your day to give to the Lord. I want to encourage you. I mentioned this book last week, Dr. Mark Jones, Unscripted, is a really good to help kind of propel you in that direction if you've not been doing that before. Maybe you've not been setting aside a time for the Lord. This is a good book in order for you to get established in a quiet time with the Lord. There are other things, there are other ways that you can use, but if you just don't know where to start, this is a good place to start. Unscripted by Dr. Mark Jones. If you've read through Scripture, you realize that there are some people that seem to have a deeper relationship or deeper fellowship with the Lord than other people do. Okay? And, for instance, Moses, Scripture says, spoke to God as a friend speaks to a friend face to face. Abraham was called a friend of God. Daniel was told by an angel that he is greatly loved by God. Jesus had three close associates, disciples whom he kind of, when he wanted close friends, he would call them to be with him. Do you remember who they were? Peter, John, and James. Okay, three fishermen. And so when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus said, I want you guys to come with me. When he was in the garden, just before his death the next day, just before he was crucified, he said, guys, I need you to be with me. I need you to pray with me. Come along with me. There's something about certain individuals that the Lord bestows His friendship on in a greater degree than other people. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people. Okay? I want to be one of those people. David, it is said, was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. And actually, we're going to be looking at his life today. I want to know, what was it that caused David to be called a man after God's own heart? I want to know. Now, I'm going to just share with you a few things that I feel like the Lord has revealed to us. And there's probably a ton more, but we don't have time for the ton, but I will share with you a few things. Getting back to the disciples. Jesus would go around. He went to Matthew. How many of you have seen The Chosen? Yeah, I would encourage you to watch that. That's a pretty good show, okay? And so Jesus would go around to these different individuals, and he would ask them, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you follow me? And different ones would say, yes, I'll follow him. And basically what he was saying was, I want a deeper relationship with you. I want a deeper fellowship with you. Do you want a deeper fellowship with me? And I don't see anywhere in Scripture where any of the guys rejected him. When they called him, they went with him. However, there were some, when things got tough, they went away from Jesus. And then he asked his 12, he said, are you going to go away too? They refused to go away. Well, except Judas. He eventually decided to take off too. And here's the thing. A lot of times we develop this relationship with the Lord and we think it may be, it's going to be the easiest thing in the world, but actually it becomes very difficult. And many people decide, this is not for me. It's not something that we need to take lightly. I was visiting, we did a sports camp several years ago. And after the sports camp, I would go and I would make contact with the individuals, the children, who had made professions of faith, who had prayed and received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I went and I visited one home and I knocked on the door. They invited us in. And as I was sitting there and sharing with the mom the decision the child made, the mom said, oh, I did that one time myself. It's a phase. I didn't know what to say. I'm not one of those persons that have a quick comeback. I have to get away, and then it's like, man, I should have said that. It kind of shocked me, because when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not a phase. I have had people say, well, I tried that for a while, and it didn't work for me. Okay? That's not the kind of relationship that the Lord is expecting from us. That's not the kind of relationship that I want from Him. As we look at David today, I want us to look at maybe a hint, a passage of Scripture that would cause us to maybe help understand why David was called a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 42, 1 and 2, Scripture says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Have you ever been so broken, so famished spiritually, that you felt you wouldn't live if you couldn't connect with God? I don't know what caused David to get in this situation. I don't know what the occasion was. Compelled him to write this verse, to write this song. But it must have been when he felt utterly alone. And he knew that his only hope was God Himself. He knew that God was the answer to the longing of his soul. Jesus tells us that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Jesus also tells us in John that he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He told the Samaritan woman, I am the water of life. He who drinks from me will never thirst again. Of course, David didn't have the words of Jesus, but there was something in his soul that knew that the only thing that was going to satisfy him was getting in touch and connecting with the Father. We sing a song, and you can sing it with me. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Of course, that passage, that song is taken from this passage of Scripture. And David said, my soul is longing for the Lord. I am thirsty and hungry to connect with the Lord. David was seeking after the water of life. And we know that he found it. We know that he discovered it because if you read his story or if you read other Psalms, we find something like this in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is the only one who can restore your soul. If your soul is broken, he's the only one who can fix it. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, Jesus is the only one who can fix it. Okay? Nobody else can fix it. Jesus is the only one who can fix it. David pursued a deep relationship with God. And I want to look at some of his practices. Because if David was known as a man after God's own heart, then possibly if I can emulate some of what he's doing, that maybe I can get as close to God as David was. Okay? So that's where we're going today, looking at David's life. The first thing that we find, or David, after realizing that the Lord is the only one who can satisfy the craving of his soul, the first thing we find is that his waking thoughts and first actions were to connect with God. His waking thoughts and his first actions were to connect with God. Listen to some of these passages of Scripture, and I could have listed several more, but I'm just going to call your attention to these five. And I'm going to encourage you, maybe write down the reference and even meditate on these during the week in your quiet time. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, in the morning, O Lord, say in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Psalm 90:14, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that you may sing for joy and be glad all your days. Psalm 59:16-17. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. Psalm 108:2. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. It's like, I'm going to get up before the sun rises, and I'm going to be playing to the Lord before the sun comes up. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
It is crazy. Okay, Psalm 104:3:8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Okay, and you could, if you want to read through passages or even go to your Bible concordance and look up the morning, you're going to find many more verses where David says, I get up in the morning, and I began my day with the Lord early. Okay, and I want to encourage you, and that some of you came on board with me, and now you have to make me get up. So I get before 5, and I text everyone on my little thing, and if you want to join us, just put on your communication card. I'm going to join you in connecting with the Lord at 5 o'clock, okay? And no pressure whatsoever, okay? None whatsoever. You start about 10. And that's okay. But I'm going to encourage you, whenever it is, do it the first thing. Okay? Do it the first. Let me let you know, I sleep in. But I sleep in on the front end of the clock, like 9 o'clock at night, rather than. So in order to do that, of course, I have to go to bed early. I need my beauty rest. Right? and I'll eat a lot of it. So if you're going to do that, I encourage you, you know, if you want to join us, fine. It's not like I am a, you know, to be honest with you, I like to stay in bed. Okay, I really do. That's my preference. But what I desire more is to connect with the Lord. Okay? And you can do it any time of the day. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 10 o'clock at night. Doesn't really matter. But I would encourage you, the first thing when you awake, connect with the Lord. That's what David did. That's what David did. Another thing that we find about David was he was single-minded in his devotion to the Lord. He was single-minded in his devotion to the Lord. In Psalm 57, verses 7 and 8, my heart is steadfast. Say steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Psalm 108, my heart is steadfast. Say steadfast. O God, I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. Verse 3, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. So steadfast means I am immovable. Nobody is going to move me from my devotion and my steadfastness to the Lord. No word, no action, no social media, no newscast, nothing is going to move me from my devotion to the Lord, because I'm going to be steadfast in my devotion to the Lord. I am immovable. We used to sing a song as a child, and if you know it, you can sing along with me. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. See how many wonderful songs you missed if you weren't in church as a child. There are a lot of great songs. And many of those songs, of course, are songs David wrote. We may have got a different tune, but there are many of the songs that David wrote. And he said, I'm not going to be moved. I don't care what comes my way. I'm not going to be moved. Now, let me just share this. Let me just pause just a second. And emphasize the fact that this is not I'm not trying to put you in a religious box. Okay? I'm not saying if you want to be a good Christian, you're going to have to do it this way. Okay? I'm not saying that if you don't do it this way, you're a sinner. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is there are certain things we need to do. If you want a deeper relationship with the Lord, there's something you need to do in order to establish that. So here's, and I'm going to talk to you like the Lord talks to me, okay? Brad, you can either go with me or stay where you are. Either go with me or stay where you are. I think that's kind of what he told the disciples. Either go with me or stay where you are. We have a choice. Okay, we have a choice, and we can go as deep with the Lord as we want to go. Okay? And so, I can't go deeper with the Lord staying where I am. I can't do it. I told you last week that I'm not where I want to be. And so when you see me fail, you're like, man, that Brad, he's like, he told us he was something. No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? I want to be something. And so in order to be something, I've got to change some things the way I do things. So, the third thing we find about David is that he devoted himself to wholehearted worship of the Lord. And he wasn't trying to get attention for himself. He was trying to devote all of his attention to the Lord. Many of the psalms you find in Scripture are psalms, like we shared, as songs that David wrote, and he even wrote the orchestration, as far as we can tell, for those things. You'll find in there, sing this song to the tune of Shilamith. I don't know what Shilamith is, but it was a tune, okay, or some other thing. Sing this to the tune of this other song. Or sing it to these tunes. You know what I think? I think one day in heaven we're going to be able to hear. Let me give you a picture of heaven in my mind. Okay? So, the Lord loves worship, right? Yes. And he loves all kinds of worship. Yes. So here's what I think heaven's going to be like. We're going to stroll down the streets of gold. And on those streets, there's going to be worship bands all over. And we're going to go to David's worship band that he had, and they're going to be playing tunes like they did back in his day. All right? And then we're going to go over here, and I tell you, I like black gospel music. Okay? And so we're going to go over there and listen to this choir singing praise and adoration and dancing to the Lord. Yeah. Then we'll go get to hear Tom and Renee. But I really believe we're going to be able to hear all of heaven with all their, I don't know what a lyre, well, I do know, I looked it up, but there is a lyre thing. Okay, I don't know what a harp is. They were different in David's day than we have now. But David loved worship. As a matter of fact, he had worship instruments created for the temple. He may have made some of them himself. He was a luthier. And he would make these instruments and put them in the temple, or put them in the tabernacle at that time, but planning on the temple later to come. David, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but David assigned worshipers to the tabernacle and later to the temple. Solomon kind of carried that on. And they would go in the temple night and day, 24-hour worship. 24-hour worship. Anytime a person entered the temple, they would hear the singers singing. And they would hear the flautist fluting. They would hear all of these instruments in unison. And I think when we get to heaven, no matter who it is playing, it's all going to be in unison. And it's all going to be in a wonderful accord, praising the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 33, it says this. Now these are the singers, heads of fathers' households of the Levites, who lived in the chambers. They lived in the chambers of the temple. Okay, so there were chambers in the temple. And these praise worshipers had like a motel room there. And they lived in the chambers of the temple, and they were free from any other service. Their only job was to praise and worship the Lord. Every day, every night, these are the singers, and I'm listed out their names. You can go back and read their names if you want to. Psalm 134, verses 1 through 3. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. So if let's just say you decided you need to go to the temple at 2:30 in the morning. And you enter the temple and you're thinking, man, I'm the only one going to be there. No, there were actually 228 other people. Well, let me read it. I've got that a little confused. In 1 Corinthians chapter 25, verse 1 through 7, all these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, lyre, for the service of the house of God. Their number who were trained in the singing of the Lord with their relatives, all who were skillful were 288. So I'm sure they had shifts. Okay? So I'm sure they had shifts. They were not like 288, 24 hours a day. You can't do that, right? So there was shifts going on. But what was taking place was that we find that David had a music school, training people to sing and play instruments. For what purpose? So that they could sing and praise and honor the Lord with their talents, with their gifts, with the things that God had given them. That was their service to the Lord. And they had no other responsibility except to honor and praise and serve the Lord with music. Isn't that incredible? That was David's heart. David said, I want you, O Lord, to be worshipped. I want you, O Lord, to be praised. You remember, you know, he was carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and he got so wrapped up in his worship, and he just kind of shed his outer clothes and had on his underwear, his linen garments, and it's like, whoa! You know, I would not encourage you to do that. But what I would encourage you to do is to worship the Lord with all your heart. David was a wholehearted worshiper. And we need to be a wholehearted worshiper. We need to be. That's who David was. And I think that was one of the things that God just said, man, we talk about David was a man after God's own heart. And that's kind of a two-pronged thing. So it's either a man who has a heart like God or a man who has a heart going after God. I prefer the latter. It's a man who has a heart totally going after God. David was a worshiper. Another thing we find about David is that he desired a pure heart. In Psalm 139, 23, and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. I want to read that again. This is just so good. Okay? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Do you ever pray that? Lord, point out anything in me that offends. But here's the thing. David knew that if there were things in his heart that he was holding on to that was ungodly, he could not connect with God the way he needed to. Okay? So, Lord, point out anything in me that offends you. Anything. Anything. And actually, that's one of the prayers I pray when I get up in the morning. Lord, search my heart. See if there's anything that's hindering me from connecting with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Did you know that David was prone to do wrong? He was prone to do wrong. And so he knew he was not what he ought to be. He was prone to sin. He was prone to make poor decisions in his relationships. He was prone to make real poor decisions with his family life. He was prone to make poor decisions with the nation Israel. He was prone to make poor decisions. And with that responsibility in his mind and upon his heart, he's saying, Lord, Lord, search me. I've got to make good decisions. The welfare of my family depends on good decisions. The welfare of my nation or this nation depends on good decisions. Lord, I need your help here. I need your help. Search my heart so that I can know that I'm connected to you. Point out anything. Point out anything that is an offense to you. That was his heart. That was his heart. And no wonder God said he's a man after my own heart. No wonder he said that. And listen, this is another thing that he says. Lord, know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts. Did you know that anxiety is an indication that we're not trusting him? Anxiety about, and all of us have those times, right? All of us have those moments or weeks. When we become anxious. David knew that his anxiety was an indication that he was not trusting the Lord in some area of his life. And so he's saying, Lord, point to me, show me, reveal to me any anxiety in my heart, because that's a revelation to me that I'm not trusting you in that area. Show me my anxious thoughts. David knew that making decisions based on fear and anxiety would be unwise. He needed to keep a check on fear. Now, he had a lot went on in his life. So, you remember, he told Saul, we don't have a record of the incident, but we do have a record of him, David, telling King Saul, listen, there was a bear one time that came into my sheepfold and he stole this sheep and I went after him and I took my stick and I just killed it. And then there was a lion one time he came in and he took one of my sheep and I wasn't going to let him get away with that. And so I ran that lion down and while he was trying to gnaw on my sheep, I killed that sucker. I wonder if he had any anxiety. I would say probably. But he knew who he could trust. He was able to overcome anxiety by trusting the Lord. When Saul was after him, trying to kill him, and he was running away from him for years, I guess. Do you think he had any anxiety? I would think. When the Philistines garrisoned around him and his army, do you think he had any anxiety? I'm sure he did. Lord, reveal to me any anxious thoughts. Because here's the deal. If you have anxious thoughts, you can't hear the Spirit clearly. Right? And so, Lord, reveal to me any anxious thoughts so that I can confess them, repent for them, so you can remove them, because I need your word, not the word of fear in my heart. So David said, purify my heart, cleanse my heart, because he knew he would not be connected to the Lord the way he ought to be if he carried that around. And the last thing, and you're going to find more if you read your scripture. This is just the last that I'm going to share with you, unless the Lord tells me something next week, okay? So, David wanted to walk in obedience to the Lord. He prayed for guidance. Psalm 31:3, you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalm 119:133, guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. Again, Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Did you know that the Father wants to lead you in your daily activities? He does. But did you know also that He's not going to lead you unless you ask Him? Now, David said, lead me, guide me in the way I should go. Now, sometimes you will perhaps start doing something and you'll get a check in your spirit. That's not the way you should go. And you can do like I've done, is argue with the Lord and tell Him your way is better than His way. And He'll just say, okay, go ahead. But you know, every time I've done that, I've regretted it. Every single time. I've shared this with you before, but it just keeps recurring in my mind that it's a lesson that I've learned. Years ago, I was in Idaho. I was doing a revival, and there was a fellow who made guitars, a luthier made guitars. And I went in his shop, and he said, I can make you one too. I said, ooh, I'd like that. And the Lord said, no. But I convinced the Lord. That it would be a wonderful way to honor and worship and praise Him. He said, go ahead. Well, I knew in my spirit that's not what He wanted. Well, I didn't know at the time that we would be moving back to Mississippi a few months later. And I got the guitar from Idaho, took it to Mississippi, and within a few months after moving to Mississippi, it was cracked, it was broken. You've seen it. The front was cracked, broken, buckled. It's even worse now. But you know, it was, I can't even play it. The back was cracked. It's like, man, I wish I'd have listened to the Lord. I wasted some money on something. And the Lord said, now, anytime the Lord tells you don't sue something, He's saying don't hurt yourself. Right? And anytime He gives you permission to do something, He says, help yourself to happiness. Help yourself to happiness. I kept that guitar in my office for years to remind me that when God says no, it's probably best not to try to convince Him otherwise. All right? So, David was saying, listen, Lord, I want direction from you. I want guidance from you. Every decision I make, I want it to be you putting that in my heart because I'm tired of making mistakes. I'm tired of making mistakes. You knew David made mistakes, right? Yeah, there's some things that he did that I'm sure looking back on, I know he regretted. There were some horrible decisions he made regarding relationships. And I know he regretted those things. But here's what I also understand. All of us have made those kind of decisions, right? Things that we've regretted, wish we hadn't done. Maybe they come to mind every now and then. But here's what I know about God. He doesn't hold that against us. I think it was even after David's big sin with Bathsheba that David became more a follower of Christ or a follower of God. And that's when David realized that his heart was not what it ought to be. And he began this process. And you know you can start that process any time in your life. You can do it when you're 8 or you can do it when you're 80. Or 84, happy birthday, Larry. 85, happy birthday, Larry. It doesn't matter your age. What matters is your heart, right? So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you an invitation to develop a heart like David's, and you can either stay where you are, or you can go with the Lord, okay? Now, it may look different for anybody, everybody, but I think these five attributes are going to be a part of that growth process, okay? So, Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I acknowledge you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I'm not where I want to be, but I'm hoping that I'm going to be closer next year than I am right now. And so, Lord, I would like for you to say of me, this is a man after your own heart. Lord, I'd like for this to be a congregation where you would say, there are people, men and women, after my heart. And so, Lord, I just ask for your patience with us. And Lord, that you would do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.